Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Joining us now is the Green Bay Packers' new head coach, Matt LaFleur on Wilde and Tauscher.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
Matt LaFleur, Matt Nagy, and Matt Patricia. Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach not named Matt? No, I'm sorry.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach named Matt? Matt Damon, Matt Ryan, somebody else.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
Can you repeat that question?
Sorry.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. I'm glad Tausch came around on the Jesse Nelson, Matt Flynn take. Now, I would say, as remarkable, and I was at both of these games that you were discussing, as remarkable as that regular season finale and that performance, 480 yards and six touchdowns against the Lions, was, let's not forget that if Flynn doesn't lead that comeback in Dallas, which starts, by the way, with the league comes at you fast, Eddie Lacy, like 60-yard run to kind of jumpstart them at the start of the second half. Then the great moment that happens later in the year when Rodgers comes back finally for the last game of the season and throws the touchdown to Cobb doesn't happen. They're already eliminated by them. So that game was an enormous game, and that comeback was an enormous game in Dallas. Matt LaFleur just finished talking with us. We are awaiting the Packers finishing their stretching to move outside for the final minicamp practice. Next week's OTAs will only be for rookies. Tausch, it's kind of the opposite of what you did most of your career, where you got thrown into the deep end right after the draft with the rookies practicing with the vets right away. And now the vets get to leave and the rookies stick around. That's something that's been happening for a long time. But how much is that going to help this rookie class to get an extra week of work? Because there are some guys, Brandon Cisse, Jagger, Burton, who probably could use the extra work.
No doubt. I think it's a much smarter way to go about doing it. I know for me, it was, you know, just get thrown into the pool and it's like, go ahead, man. Let's see what you got. And now they, you know, they kind of bring it in little segments where you can get comfortable, you feel better. And now you have a general idea of what the heck's actually going on. And now you get to go to work with other rookies and young players. So I think this is a much smarter way. The NFL, for as much criticism as they get in organizations, I do think they're getting smarter, especially with young players and the onboarding system that they're going through. So this makes a ton more sense. I think the players will benefit greatly from having it done this way rather than just, rip, here you go. And now I think they're looking forward to getting some work in next week, whereas I think a lot of the veterans are looking forward to getting the hell out of here and spending a month and some change with their families before, you know, you come back, it's all football all the time, every day of the week, and this is a good little mental break. So this is the smart way for the Green Bay Packers to handle their business.
Matt LaFleur also gave us a hard time. I think it was Bill Huber that asked a series of questions about the schedule for training camp, but I was glad that he did, because now I can tell you that the first full-fledged practice of training camp, which will not be like your first full-fledged training camp practices, which were double days in pads right out of the chute, will be July 29th.
That is
Veterans
super
Report
late.
On the 28th. Yeah, that's what I thought.
That is the latest
preseason
ever. Matter
play
of fact,
on August 13th.
Matter of fact, that is unfortunate for me because I have booked a few things that won't land as well. So that's the way it goes. I can't Can't predict City Hall, right? Isn't that what they always say?
Wednesday, July 29th.
You can't fight City Hall.
I can't predict it either. I don't know what they're going to do.
Jesse and I'll be at the Tundra Trio, and we'll see the bikes with the launch of Dream Drive. Maybe Dan Kelly. Maybe Dan Kelly could come up and be the cousin sub. He's big on Dream
Drive
Day.
You threw him out of the building last time, didn't you? Isn't that what I came in?
Tausch, it feels like every year you keep running into, oh, man, I can't believe they're starting training camp that day. I'm out that day. Maybe did you ever think about, like, moving when you're going to be gone, and then you can change some things and be around?
No,
maybe?
I looked at it. No. So I have a tight window with things, and I look – it's always that second to last week. It's usually that Wednesday or Thursday. And this week, this year, it seems like it's a full week later. And again, I'm not going to fight City Hall. It is what it is.
The shareholders meeting will be on the 27th. And then the veterans will report on the 28th, and we will kick off training camp on the 29th. Speaking of the rookies and the extra work they'll get next week, which I think will be without us watching, which is great news for them, I'm sure. By the time you got to training camp, your rookie year, what percentage confident were you in what you're supposed to be doing? Like, the offseason program was longer. You got a lot of, right. And I just, you know, I'll be curious if this rookie class, which obviously Jagger Burton is following the Mark Tauscher playbook. I mean, he's made an impression and he's going to get some work, and if an injury happens here or there, who knows what his role might be. But I just, and you could please tell me if I'm wrong, it just feels like the way the offseason program is structured now, pretty much ever since 2011, it really doesn't do the rookies a whole lot of favors in terms of being able to hit the ground running when camp starts. I know, and you've talked about it, what a grind it is to go through, you know, finish your college season and go to a bowl game or a college football playoff game. And then you go through all the pre-draft stuff and you get drafted. I mean, it is a lot. But it just, I would argue that the group of individuals that haven't benefited from the way the offseason has evolved, certainly veterans, I'm sure, love it, right? They're big fans. Uh-huh. They know what they're doing already. They've got spots, maybe not locked up, but are more likely to make teams. But it just feels like for the guys who were drinking out of a fire hose in May, I don't know how much they get to really get themselves ready to put their best foot forward once training camp starts. Am I inaccurate in thinking that way?
There's a give and take with everything. I mean, there's no doubt that you could be better prepared by doing more stuff, especially with guys that you're going to be playing next to. And but as far as is it some huge disadvantage, that the more you work at something and the more reps you get, inevitably you should get better. So these guys are obviously getting a lot less work, but they're also getting more attention, and they're getting more opportunities with this mini camp next week, basically, or this OTA, in essence, mm-hmm. just for rookies. That's a perk that I think you can utilize and help. You can study. You can get. There's more technology. You have more access to the stuff, to the plays. So I think from a physical standpoint, you could probably make that argument, and I'm not going to push back a ton on you. But as far as, you know, the big picture goes, young players are not as young. You said Burton's, what, 25 already? Yeah. This is the way the NFL works. I think physically you don't get the same amount of work coming into training camp, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. So, no, I probably would push back a little bit, but I'm not going to fight you on it.
You've also taught us that you start to get the itch. Start to smell the grass right around the 4th of July. So Matt LaFleur, not that anyone's counting, but he said that we are 47 days from the first practice. If you're getting ready for an important pivotal season as a veteran player, you know, he talked about how you got to stay on top of things. He did not, I think is probably just understood. Let's not have any off the field incidents. Is that the speech that everyone gets though? Both stay in shape,
yep,
work hard, get away from football a little bit, but make sure you're working hard, and please don't do anything that besmirches the G, if you will.
It's exactly, that's what it is. And it's, you know, make sure you're getting refreshed, getting mentally ready, because everybody knows kind of the way this goes once you get back. But this is the time of the year coaches are the most nervous. It's in college, it's in the pros, because you give some well-paid athletes a lot of time off and freedom. Yeah, you get nervous. And for the most part, you don't need to be nervous, but all it takes is one. And you understand, making sure those guys understand the ramifications when something happens or you do something that isn't what you should be doing, other people have to answer for you. And that usually should scare enough people off to not maybe do the dumb things that they maybe would be thinking about. But inevitably, something does happen, and you have to be willing to deal with it and ready to deal with it, but you want to make sure you're at least laying it out so that guys understand kind of where they're at and how they should approach this time, because this is the time of the year when they're not, don't have eyes and hands on them. That's when they're the most nervous.
Well, I certainly hope those young, well-compensated professional athletes are at least being smart with their money, that they're not frivolously spending at the club and wherever else, and they're calling Annex Wealth Management for guidance.
Indeed, and boy, it is hard to keep up with everything going on. You got these global issues, the Strait of Hormuz. Oh, what IPO is coming up? Anthropic? What? SpaceX? Huh? What does that all that mean? I don't even know. Gas prices, inflation, wars, but we don't know. You need to have a plan. And if you're looking for a team that knows how to plan and help you stay on course with your goals, even with all of this going on around you, it's time to give the people at Annex Wealth Management a call. They're going to rigorously test the plan against hundreds of different scenarios, all sorts of possibilities, to make sure that what they're building, you're building with them, and you can help stand up to all of the other issues that are going on. Nothing's going to make it 100% calm, but with everything going on, the experts at Annex will help you with reaching your financial goals. Give them a call or go to annexwealth.com to get started on getting your plan in place to be successful.
More from Packers minicamp practice number 3 next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Packers continuing their final mandatory minicamp practice of the offseason. Former Notre Dame, LSU, and Central Michigan head football coach Brian Kelly among the dignitaries at today's practice. He's down the way from me standing with Matt LaFleur's dad.
Did LaFleur make him park cars today?
That is the joke right there. I knew I could count on you. Yes, if you don't remember, Matt LaFleur told that story. He and Robert Saleh were grad assistants at Central Michigan, and they got invited, or so they thought, to a soiree at Brian Kelly's house when he was the head coach. But they weren't invited to enjoy the party. They were invited to park cars in the neighborhood at Brian Kelly's house. So apparently, unlike me, he definitely does not hold a grudge because Brian Kelly is here as a special guest for today's practice.
What do these special guests do when they come?
Sometimes they talk to the team, like Blue, right? Brian Bulaga talked to the team. But Corey Linsley was here last week. I don't think he addressed the team at all. Joe Thomas came here and delivered food, you know, delivered his Hall of Fame beef, and then spent some time with Jordan Morgan, as he told us about. So, you know, it depends on the guy, I guess. I don't know. Has Brian Kelly had enough success lately that you want him to address the team?
Oh, burn.
No.
No, right?
He's had success financially, I can tell you that.
He's done okay for himself, indeed. So that's a little bit of the sideline update. Cloudy skies at Ray Nitschke Field, much cooler than it was at the beginning of the week, and it's not pouring down rain like it was yesterday. Tausch, I want to ask you, we were talking about rookies, and a guy that I think there are certainly Packers fans who are rooting for him because they don't like Keyshawn Nixon, is Brandon Cisse. And he's had some moments. I know, Jesse, you have a clip from him talking yesterday in your arsenal. But Matt LaFleur was asked about him today. I'm not necessarily predicting that he's going to be a starter. I still think that he's from what some folks told me after they drafted him, he's a really good athlete and has really good potential, but he's raw. Played only 3 college seasons. He's still only 20 years old. So whether or not he's going to be a day one starter, I think a lot of scouts did not see him as that. But if you're going to let Keyshawn Nixon walk after the season, and heck, maybe even Carrington Valentine too, then you've set yourself up for him to be a starter next year if he's not a starter this year. But is that a position? You did it at tackle. But is that a position where rookies can step in and play right away? Do you think it's an easier position to be an immediate starter, no matter how young or old as a rookie you are, is corner?
I think it's one of the tougher ones because there's obviously, it's not, you know, I think people just assume, hey, go line up and stop this guy. And
yeah.
If you can just play man-to-man and that's what the scheme calls for and that's everything, okay. But there's a lot of nuance and a lot of things that you have to have a kind of a grip on. It's not like you can go out and play wide out and, hey, these are going to be your little package for you. Now, I'm not trying to sit here and tell you it's brain surgery trying to figure out how to, you know, play coverage and to understand what's going on. So I think there's every spot can be played as a rookie. Mm-hmm. I would say defensive back would be right in the middle of the pack. I would say running back is probably about one of the easiest.
Okay.
But then even with that, you could say, well,
protections.
You have to know blitz pickup. But you could package that and make it so it's more you're going to have certain things for that person to do. Quarterback obviously is the most difficult. I would say center is a very tough spot to come in as a center, as a young player. But talent will out. If you have that talent, we'll figure it out. And if Cisse is as talented as we all hope he's going to be, they'll figure out some ways. And if, you know, he's not starting right away, he'll have potential, especially if there is an injury or something. That is a spot that I think you can feel pretty good about getting out there and finding a role for them to fill really early in their career.
Matt LaFleur let me down in our press briefing with him because I was on with you guys when this play happened yesterday. The throw that Love makes, moving to his left and throwing back across his body to hit Jaden Reed in stride behind Edgerrin Cooper for what was a 70-ish yard touchdown was, you know, all those times when I would say, I haven't seen enough wow throws. So that might have been the wowiest wow throw I've seen in a very, very long time. I'm not going to palm it and say it was better than any throw I saw Favre making a practice or Love or Rodgers making a practice, but it was a hell of a throw. And LaFleur kind of had a blame. Yeah. Well, we didn't watch it. Good one. And then his answer was kind of lame. When a play like that happens, and you are in the
What did he say? What was so lame about it?
It was just. Yeah. Well, that just shows what he's capable of doing. Trust me, I can judge a lame question or answer. I can ask a lame question, and I can definitely judge a lame answer too. It was just
so. If what you're telling me, should Jesse head down to Hard Rock Casino Rockford or not?
I mean, it's one throw in a practice, Tausch, and two plays later after that, Javon Bullard made that sick interception, leaping and falling backwards on a throw to Christian Watson from Love. So, look, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of minicamp. But It was a really ridiculous throw. And I will hopefully talk to Jaden and Edger and Cooper and maybe even Love about it, because it was really cool. Maybe that is that kind of thing. Like, you tell me. Like, that feels to me like something that kind of peps up everybody when you're watching otherwise potentially boring practice film in your meeting. Like, is that a big deal? Is it not a deal at all? Like, when you make a play like that, I would think that would jazz the guys up. Am I wrong?
You're right, Jason. It will definitely jazz it up, and especially when you're talking about, you know, kind of a slower time, a little monotony and not a ton of excitement. You're always looking for ways to bring juice and energy to a practice and to a mini camp, and the big plays are the way you usually go about doing that. So that usually will entail a little smack talk, and then, you know, we're getting after your butt, and then you want to see the defense respond. Sounds like,
and Bullard did.
From a coach's standpoint, that's what I was just going to say. From a coach's standpoint, that's everything you're looking for, because it can't be just one side winning. Because then you're thinking, well, boy, how bad is our defense, or why are we not making any plays on that side of the ball? So from a head coach perspective, you want to see the body blows, and you want to see how the guys respond when a big play like that happens. Well, Javon Bullard showed you he can make the play. Those are the things that coaches love, and I think players, you just want to see big plays. You want to see guys showing out. And when they do that, that's how energy gets brought. And that's how you have good practices, is by having that back and forth, those punches being thrown, not literally, but figuratively. And that's how you go about having good days. And when you stack enough of those good days, you have good seasons. And that's what you're looking to do.
I also asked LaFleur about Javon Bullard, not just that interception, but just whether he seems ready to elevate. And I thought that answer was actually pretty good. He said, I think he's played some really, really good football his first 2 years already. I don't disagree, but we were talking yesterday about breakout players. He feels to me like a guy that could be, you know, whether it's him, whether it's Matthew Golden, you know, I don't know who else you would have on your list, but I just feel like Bullard is building. And did some good things as a rookie. I thought during the second half of last season, he started to really feel like a guy that was not only playing at a high level, but starting to take ownership of the defense a little bit. He was critical when they needed to be critical of themselves. You know, he said some pretty strong things to us, which I think shows some natural leadership too. And I just, he's the guy that I'm really eager to see what his season looks like. And his classmate, his fellow second round pick from that draft, I want to see if Edgerrin Cooper is more like rookie Edgerrin Cooper in Jonathan Gannon's new system than he was last year, where I didn't think he was bad, but I just didn't see the same kind of big, meaningful, wow plays from him as we saw as a rookie. Are those two fair critiques of those two third-year guys that were drafted in the second round a few years back?
Yeah. Yeah, I think both are, that's a fair assessment. And you're always, you know, I think we all get caught up in the big jump from year one to year two. And mm-hmm. I think there's good reason for that. But that doesn't mean, and this is where I got in the argument with Homer yesterday, it's like, no, by year four. Now, granted, I think by year four, if you're playing 4 years, you have a general idea of what that player is going to be. But that doesn't mean that they can't get better. Is it going to be the same big jump? Typically, by year four and five in the NFL, you know this is who you are as a football player.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that they still can't make another jump. It just probably won't be to that same degree from year one to two. But everybody's elevator lines up differently at different times. There's your media where you see most guys. It is that, you know, in the middle part of your career. But not everybody, and especially now, again, I thought it was a good point you brought up yesterday. Guys are getting in the league older and older. It's the Mormonization of the NFL, if you want to put it that way. We're seeing that more and more, where guys aren't 20 and 21. Guys are going to be older and more mature because they can make more money in college, and they come into the league more physically and mentally ready to jump in than they would be if they were 20 and 21.
I did think yesterday's debate, or whatever you want to call it, was interesting, because I don't think it's typical for two former first-round picks like Devontae Wyatt and Lucas Van Ness for us to not be entirely sure of what they are. But I don't think they're at the point, either one of them, where I would say we know what they are. I mean, both of them have dealt with injuries. Both of them have flashed some really good moments. But I don't think we know either one of those. And both of them, this is an enormous year for both of them. You know, Wyatt is in the fifth-year option. Lucas Van Ness just got the fifth-year option, and that's for 2027. But I think it's a big year for both of them to prove what they truly are, and they will certainly have the opportunity to do so. Jesse will have the opportunity to do Woe Nelly. We'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
All right, I'm gonna try something here, and I don't know if it's gonna be a good idea or not.
Oh boy.
Usually ends well.
I had a few things ready to go, and then I got a phone call from Ron in the Key.
Oh boy.
And he said, "I need 2 minutes."
Oh, I bet he probably won a World Series of Poker bracelet. That'd be the only reason that he would call and break that in.
So, wish Sarah Tauscher a happy birthday.
I don't. We're coming up on that.
No,
but
it's
I don't
not.
Really,
it's not time.
Yeah,
yet.
Not time.
I know,
for that.
But
yeah,
a couple days.
But he never knows your schedule and when you may or may not be on the show. Certainly, if her birthday was early in training camp, we might be able to know.
So I'm feeling generous. You know, see, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. Good spirits. I don't know how it's going to go, but I would yield.
And he gave you, and you did not require him to tell you what he needed the 2 minutes for. Is that correct?
Well, here's what I've
learned. You gave him carte blanche.
No, what I've learned about Ron is even when I ask him what he's going
to
say, when
he's
gets on the air, he just
you.
Lies, and then he gets on the air and he says whatever the hell he wants to anyway.
Well, that sounds like the kind of person who deserves unfettered access to the program.
So, with the opportunity to Woe Nelly him at any juncture.
Oh, dear.
Good morning, Ron.
Hi, guys. If I can stick to 2 minutes, you got to let me cook. First of all, happy anniversary. Big fan. But with regard to your anniversary celebrations and a tournament of champions without the only contestant to ever answer a question correctly without even hearing the question seems like a misjustice. Also, speaking of anniversaries, happy birthday to Greg Scalzo. But speaking of answers, my answer to today's topic is misery bonds more than winning. So I'd actually say the fail Mary. But also speaking of prayers, the half-court heave by then-Lady Pope Jennifer Kraft to beat Wildy's High School also is a good answer. Speaking of Kraft, I call BS. How do you watch a VHS if you didn't have a TV? I think you needed a follow-up question there, Jason. And lastly, Jennifer Kraft was playing high school girls basketball. Tausch. Still waiting for a callback on that sponsorship. Take care, guys. Be good.
Well, I'm glad we let him cook. So yeah. I took the didn't have TV, like they didn't have like cable. And so like he just had like local channels. Because yes, you can't just watch a VHS tape without connecting it to an actual television. I felt like I had fiddled and diddled, as Homer would say, with my Ivan Drago question. People had serious questions for a guy that wants to spend his entire career here and wants to be the highest paid tight end in football. He covered a lot of ground there.
Very succinct. I thought he did a good job.
We can't say that the most unifying moment celebratory for Wisconsin sports fans was the failed Mary.
But it united everyone in their disdain for that weasel Lance Easley. That's for sure. And by the way, the outcome of that game was also a factor in the butt kicking they then received in the postseason from Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers, because now, again, they lost in Minnesota to Adrian Peterson in a win, and they're the top seed or the number two seed, I can't remember which, but they would have had a bye in that postseason. Instead, they lose that game, and then they have to play at home against the Vikings. They beat them, and then they have to go out to San Francisco, who had spent their bye week installing that read option stuff that was not in their offense when they first moved to Colin Kaepernick. So there were far-reaching implications that they could have even lost that Minnesota game if they don't lose the fail Mary game. But bottom line, I think the question was unifying people. And in fairness to Ron, he's right. I thought that unified it. It unified everybody. It got the it. You know, you talk about Rocky ending the Cold War. The fail Mary ended the referee's strike, and the NFL finally paid those guys.
Yeah, I screwed that up. It was more about joy and like sheer joy than unification, because I said sports are a great unifier. Like, that is one of the last things left that unifies us.
It's true.
But I was more interested in the joy part of it. But Ron's right. That definitely unified Packer fans and most NFL fans outside of Pete Carroll about getting rid of replacement.
And Mr. Unlimited. Yeah. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
World Cup starts this afternoon. Tausch, you were making a face already.
Whoa, Nelly!
I love big sports.
Big events.
Yep. I will pay attention when the U.S. plays. Uh-huh. I had someone tweet me yesterday after listening to the show saying the reason we don't is because you don't want to have the U.S. playing at 2:00 on a Tuesday, on a Thursday afternoon. Totally get it. You want to put it up on a Friday night? That's great. Probably more people are going to pay attention. Totally on board with it. It's a day of self-reflection by me.
I'd
I was
say.
Wrong on that yesterday. I was somewhat wrong with the old boy and his Matt Flynn take. So, again, man, I'm not. And Jason sometimes tries to paint me as this rigid. I can't. You know, I'm such a stubborn old mule, and I'm just not. That's not.
Jesse,
say a lot of things.
Jesse literally said,
"Stubborn old mule's not one of them."
Yeah.
I don't know how I got brought into this.
Am I a stubborn old mule, Jesse?
Jason sure likes to paint you that way. There's no doubt about that.
Jesse literally said, you know, a lot of prodding and convincing and to admit you're wrong.
He likes a good debate.
I think you admit you're wrong more often than your reputation would indicate.
But it takes a lot of convincing for you to admit you're wrong.
My reputation is painted by you and Jesse on how you frame things, especially on a digital component. That's a whole nother conversation. Go ahead.
Team USA tomorrow night, Paraguay at 8:00 Central Time. Next Friday, Australia at 2:00 in the afternoon Central Time. And then Thursday, June 25th against Turkey.
So wait, we're taking a week between games? What is this, football?
This is how the world... No, well, yes, it is football. And this is how the World Cup works. This is how the group stage works. Usually it's 6 or 7 days in between.
7 days in between.
There's seven groups. So
what is this? Roger Goodell. We need Roger Goodell to get this so that we don't have 7 full days. We need a Wednesday. We want some Netflix and some other... 7 days too long, man.
You want the guys rested at full strength for the next
match. They ain't hitting each other. They're running.
By the way, we didn't get to the punchline yet. June 25th against Turkey, 9 p.m. Central Time. We're starting that World Cup
game. What time
is
that Turkey time?
I don't know. Turkey time's in November, Jason.
Try to put that on the stream, though. What time is it in Turkey for that matchup? when we get there.
Nelly.
All right. Do you have anything else, Jesse, or are we done?
No, that's it.
All right. We'll wrap things up. Do you have a clip of the day, or do you not have one of those either today?
Tucker Kraft talking about not having a TV unless you have anything more interesting to say from practice.
No, we're doing special teams at the moment. Downing
punts. I do agree with Ron. If you have a box of VHS tapes, it makes me think you have a TV.
Yeah, I think he misspoke. Not that that ever happens on our show, of course. But if I see Tucker in the locker room, I will let him know, hey, Ron and the key thinks you actually – how did you watch those VHS tapes if you didn't have a TV? I'll see what he says.
It's a fair question.
We'll wrap things up next. We'll do it, Josh.
We're on the Packers.
There's more question marks now.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
There's just more uncertainty with this group than there was even pre-Micah last year.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Packers getting ready to do some 11 on 11 here. Josh Jacobs, the running back. Josh Wiley, the tight end, with both Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave out. And across the front of the offensive line, Jagger Burton again in at left guard with Aaron Banks not taking part. So big opportunities for guys to make final impressions here in the final practice of mandatory minicamp. That's it for us today. We will do it again tomorrow. Thanks to our contestants in our trivia championship. And thanks to you for coming along for the ride with us. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.